Man, praise God. Amen. Hey, listen, I spent a little time with Tanner. Give him a hand. Amen. Give God some praise. Amen.
Listen, man, this is what I get excited about.
I get excited about being around young people. Give me 100 of those guys. Give me 10 of those guys. We'll change Vicksburg. Amen. Starting right here. Telling you, man, if that don't light your wood or your fire, your wood's wet. Amen. I'm telling you, that's good stuff. I'm so thankful. You see, because so often, man, we give our young people such a bad rap. They're the problem, right? That's not the problem. That's the solution right there. And I hope you get a good dose of that this morning. Praise God. Listen, hey, have your Bibles with you this morning. I'm going to just get into this. He's lit the fire this morning. Romans chapter 10. Romans in the 10th chapter. We've been talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this morning in our small group time, our Bible study time with our young people, we've been studying the book of James. Francis Chan was leading a video discussion on that. And we talked about being doers of the word this morning. And we talked about what are some of the things that we talk about at church, but that we don't actually do. And one of the things was sharing the gospel. We come to church and we talk about the gospel, and we talk about sharing the gospel, but we don't really go out and share the gospel. And so we really need to take the gospel out. And so I want to share with you this morning about sharing the gospel. I was brought up under pastors who really epitomized what it was to be evangelistic and to share the gospel. I remember our pastor, Brother Steph, in Shreveport. One of the last times while I was there to go eat lunch with him before we left to go to seminary, he went up to the counter there to pay our bill, and he asked the young lady if she knew the Lord, and she was counting out the money. That was back when we used cash, and she was counting out the money, had her head down, and she said, "Oh yeah," and he looked around, he got under, he said, "Do you really know the Lord?" And she kind of stepped back and looked at him. She said, "Yeah." You know, and he said, "Where do you go to church?" And so she goes, "Oh, yeah, I know your pastor, you know." So Brother Steph's always just, you know, had this mindset of sharing the gospel in every conversation that he had. I remember when I got the call, I had Brother Steph, I've invited him to come and preach a revival at our church. And he had been there before, and I had him over the places, other churches that I've been in. And I knew Brother Stelp was getting to that point where time might not present itself very often. And so I wanted him to come preach revival again before it got too late. And it was too late. I got the call like just a few days before. And he said, I can't do it. He said, I'm at a point where just kind of losing my train of thought, and I'm just kind of struggling to keep things together. And he said, "I don't want to put you in this position. I don't want to put myself in this position." And so we went a different direction. And so later after that, you know, just keeping in contact, I was talking to his daughter one day, and she was telling me, she said, "You know, you never know what Dad's going to say now." And she said, we had some business to take care of at the bank, and so we went to the bank, and there was this older black gentleman there that was waiting on us at the bank, and we got through doing the business, and everything had gone pretty good. Dad had behaved himself and said, "We got ready to go," and Dad stood up, and he shook the man's hand, and he said, "Thank you so much for helping me today." And then he asked the guy this question. He said, "Are we relatives?" And the man said, "I'm not sure." And Brother Stepp said this. He said, "Do you know Jesus Christ? Is God your Father?" And the man said, "Yes, I'm a Christian." And he said, "Then we have the same Father. We're related." Even in that state of mind, his mind was still to share Christ with the world. Man, I pray that God would grant me that heart. A heart for sharing the gospel. Why should we share? Why should we be so adamant about sharing the gospel? Well, I think this passage, we're going to discover three reasons why you and I should share the gospel. So look with me. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Paul says in verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Paul says, for all of those who have called on the name of the Lord and have been saved, the next thing you should do then is to share. And we should share because we've been sent. It happens every time. In Scripture, we see this model. We see this with the shepherds at the birth of Christ. They heard the good news. They went to check it out to see if what the angels had told them were true. And they went and they saw this Christ child born in the manger there. And then it says there in Luke 2 and verse 17, and when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. They went, they heard it, they saw it, they experienced it, and the next step was to share it. And they went and shared that good news. Andrew, Jesus walks by and sees Andrew, and he says, follow me. Andrew hears, he sees Jesus, he meets Jesus. Jesus says, follow me. In John chapter 1 and verse 41 says, he first found his own brother, Simon, and he said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Simon Peter. His brother had brought him to Christ. He heard, he saw, he witnessed, he experienced it, and then he went. Got his brother. We see it with the woman at the well. When Jesus came and encountered this lady and he said, are you thirsty? And she's like, well, how can you give me water? You don't have anything to draw water with. And he said, oh, but the water that I give you is living water. And then she goes back to the village and she says, hey, come meet a man that has told me everything about myself. And so, again, she sees, she experiences, and she goes and tells. Even the demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 5, when Jesus casts the demon out of this man experiences. And then the Bible says there in Mark chapter 5 and verse 20, and he departed and he began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. So there's three reasons that we see here why we should share the gospel. Number one is, because you've been saved. The first reason that you should share is because you yourself have been saved. You have something to share. You see, carrying the gospel involves human beings whom God has brought to himself and then uses them as his mouthpiece. You see, the first question is not, do you know a lost person? The first question is really this, do you know Jesus? If you know Jesus, then you're qualified to be a witness. you don't have to take a witnessing class. You don't have to have a tract. You don't have to memorize any Bible verses. You don't even have to carry a Bible in your hand. If you know Jesus, then you ought to be sharing his love with the world. Because of what Christ has done for you, you ought to be willing to share that with others. With that being said, how can we keep the greatest thing that's ever happened in our life to ourselves? If you've experienced the love and the forgiveness of Christ, it's sort of like the little six-year-old that got saved. And then one day he asked his mom, he said, "Mama, do you remember what I was like when I was an old wretched sinner?" You know? Hey, listen. Man, when God has saved you from your old wretched sinfulness, you ought to be excited to go share with somebody else. But now listen, if you've never been saved, chances are you won't be willing to share either. So maybe we need to settle that this morning, okay? So I think, you know, we haven't been here quite a year yet. My wife and I we're fond of saying to each other, I think we're at the point of our relationship where we can tell this to one another, you know? Or I think we're at the point of our relationship where we need to settle this or whatever. So I haven't been here quite a year yet, but I think we're at the point of our relationship where I need to let you know something. I need you to understand this morning about me. I like to talk about me. Okay? I like to share things that have happened to me. When you're telling me about things that have happened to you, I'm really not listening. I'm thinking about what's happened to me so I can tell you. I'm just waiting on you to get through so I can hurry and tell you. Okay? Let's just be honest. You're the same way. Okay? I tell stories, things that have happened to me. My kids are like, "Dad, don't nobody care about that." I'm like, "Yes, they do. I'm an interesting person. People want to know." Can I just share with you this morning? The greatest thing that's ever happened to me happened April the 5th, 1987, when I came to a point and place in my life where I surrendered my all to Christ, and Christ radically changed me. Man, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. If I could get saved again, I'd do it every day. I'd do it every day because it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And listen, I want to tell people about how I got saved. I want you to know how I got saved to the point where you could tell the story better than me. I want my kids and I want my grandkids to know. I know Pop's testimony. I've heard it so many times I can quote it myself, you know. And so listen, if you've been saved, then you ought to be sharing, okay? Acts chapter 4, verse 18. It says, this is Peter and James, and they're getting in trouble because they're preaching, okay? They get thrown in prison, they get beat up, all those kind of things. And it says, in Acts chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.' So when they had further threatened them, they let them go. Finding," listen, I love this one, "finding no way to punish them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done." They said, we've tried to punish these guys, and nothing we do to them will keep them from sharing about Jesus. Now think about that in our context today. No one can stop a Christian from sharing what Christ has done for them. And somehow, somewhere, we have been deceived. We've been fool to think that we can't share Christ in certain places. I've heard people say, "You can't share Jesus at a public school." Well, I got a Greek word for that, and it's hogwash. If you got a mouth and you got a voice, you can share Jesus anywhere. Do you realize today that the church is growing more under communist rule than it is in free America today? Listen to this. According to Telegraph News, World News, the number of Christians in communist China is growing so steadily that by 2030, it's projected that they would have more churchgoers than America. And we think today that we can't share Jesus. We think that we're being shut down. We're not. We have the power and the authority of Jesus Christ to share what's happened to us. Listen to this verse in Acts chapter 18 and verse 5. When Silas and Timothy had come to Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is Christ. They got there and Paul said, I can't help but to tell. The Spirit is compelling me to say something. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, Paul says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Paul said, I have to. It's a necessity for me to continue. Look in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John in chapter 1, that little gospel says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declared that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. He says, we've experienced this. And because we've experienced it, because we saw it, because we heard it, because we looked upon it, we touched Him, and because we've experienced Christ, we want to share it with you. We want you to get it too. Listen, I wish this morning for every one of you that you could just open your mouth and I could just pour it into you today what Christ has done for me and how Christ has forgiven me. In Psalms 107 in verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. If you have been redeemed, if God has saved you, you ought to say so. Amen? Hello? Okay. Just checking. I thought maybe y'all had gone back to sleep. I was going to get Tanner back up here to sing again. Wake y'all up. Listen. And I praise God for what He's done for me. And I want to share that with others. But not only because you've been saved, but secondly, here's another good reason. Because you've been sent. You've been sent. Romans chapter 10 and verse 15 says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good news. Because you're a believer, you've also been sent. You've been sent to preach the gospel. You see, believing is based on hearing, and hearing is based on someone preaching. And how can they preach unless they are sent? And in the Greek word here for preach, it means to be a herald or to announce. And it's not limited to just what we do here in this pulpit. It's to take the message out into the world. You see, the world will never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ that's preached in this room unless it is echoed through you out there. You're being sent. You're being sent. When Rhonda and I were praying and seeking God's call into the ministry, you know, Ron said, okay, I agree with you. I believe God's calling us to ministry. But what do you think specifically God's calling you to do? I said, I think God's calling me to preach. And first of all, she said, well, you don't do a good job teaching Sunday school. I don't know how you can preach, but anyway. And then later she said, the thing I have a problem with is I hear you preach around the house all the time. She said, but I just can't imagine having to get dressed, go ride in a car somewhere to hear you preach, you know. You preach enough around the house. And listen, we've been sent not just to preach around the house. We've been sent to preach out there, to go, to leave. In the early church, there were great signs and wonders, and thousands were saved. Preaching wasn't just something that was done by the professionals. It was people sharing. It was going house to house. It was individual to individual. It was anybody and everybody sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And really, it wasn't until sometime in the end of the fourth century that all of a sudden the church, not the Roman Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church, the early church, all of a sudden they said, you know what? Laymen aren't smart enough to understand all these scriptures, and so now we're going to limit preaching to the priests or to the, you know, whoever. No. Preaching's not limited to the preacher. It's to all of us. You know, when you think about it, I don't see how Christianity is ever going to win the day unless the great bulk of our church membership becomes witnesses. I'm not the sole minister in this church. Every one of you are preachers. Every one of you are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a difference in preaching and being a preacher, being a pastor. Okay? There are those vocational positions, but then there is the work of the evangelist to share the gospel in the workplaces. And you'll meet people that I'll never meet. And I'll meet people that you'll never meet. You'll have opportunities to share that I'll never have. And I'll have opportunities that you won't share. But together, the body of Christ will proclaim the gospel because we've all been sent. When Jesus prayed for you, listen to this. When Jesus prayed to the Father for you in John chapter 17, okay? He said, Lord, I pray that you not take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the world, right? But then in verse 18, he says this, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Somewhere we bought into this concept that we're to separate ourselves from the world. Well, we're to separate ourselves from acting like the world. Okay? But we've not been called to separate ourselves from influencing the world. We're to be salt and light. We're to be out there among them, sharing with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a non-Christian. Christians and non-Christians both get cancer. Christians and non-Christians both experience death. Christians and non-Christians both experience illnesses. Christians and non-Christians both experience divorce. Christians and non-Christians both experience trials and tribulations. Christians and non-Christians all lose their jobs. We all face financial challenges. We as Christians, though, we walk by faith through those situations, trusting the grace and mercy of God to guide us through those. And we can help a lost world come to know Christ along those paths. We're not above them. We're not below them. We're just walking with them and sharing with them. Hey, come this way. Follow me. Follow Christ. Hey, this is the way out of this mess that we find ourselves in. Okay? In fact, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, he says, go ye therefore. We've got this. Hey, come to church. And Jesus says, go to the world. Hello? Are y'all tracking with me this morning? Y'all act like that's something new. Listen, the Bible says to go ye there and make disciples. To go out into the world. In Acts chapter 1 in verse 8, Jesus says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. It really gives us kind of that pattern of it talks about the power of our witness coming from the Holy Spirit, the person of our witness. We're going to tell them about Jesus Christ and the places of our witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, into the uttermost parts of the world. distant places, different people, all those kind of things, that God's calling us to be witnesses to. You've been sent. You have a commission. Go. Go. I should have saved that for the last point. Go. Get out of here. Leave now. Right? That's what God's calling us to do. Get up. Get out of here, okay? And the third reason is because somebody told you. Because somebody told you about Jesus, then you ought to share with somebody else. Somebody shared the gospel with you. And that someone shared with them by someone who had shared with them. When I think about one of the greatest evangelists of our day, Billy Graham, think about how many thousands, millions possibly of people who are in heaven today because they heard Billy Graham share the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. But my mind goes beyond that. My mind goes beyond, well, who shared with Billy Graham? Who shared the gospel with Billy Graham? Well, there was a guy by the name of Mordecai Ham who was an evangelist. And Billy Graham had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and became a believer, became a follower. Well, who led Mordecai Ham to the Lord? Well, that was a guy by the name of Billy Sunday. Oh, Billy Sunday in the Sawdust Trail, man. Former baseball player. And man, they'd gather into those tent meetings and they'd have sawdust down there because they'd beaten down the dirt and it'd be mud and everything in there. And old Billy Sunday, he'd come in from the back and he'd be running as fast as he could and he'd slide like he was sliding into third base and pop up and jump up on the pulpit there and start preaching, you know. Hey man, I may try that one Sunday. I like baseball and always like getting dirty. So, but who led Billy Sunday to the Lord? Well, that was the guy by the name of Wilbur Chapman. And who led Wilbur Chapman? Well, that was a guy by the name of D.L. Moody. Who hadn't heard of D.L. Moody, you know? And you see, well, that's just kind of a natural progression there. We see that. And so it kind of stands to reason that each one of those would share the gospel and somebody else. But here you get down to, well, who did D.L. Moody hear? And D.L. Moody heard a faithful Sunday school teacher by the name of Edward Kimball. A guy who sold shoes during the week and taught Sunday school on Sunday morning. Who shared the gospel with D.L. Moody, who started a domino effect through the ages, accounting for countless numbers of souls coming to Jesus Christ. See, you may not win millions, but the one you win may lead millions. That's why I love hanging out with these young people. You never know who's the next guy, you know? One day, if God tarries his coming and I live long enough, I'm going to end up in a nursing home because both my kids have already said they're not taking care of me because they weren't interested in the stories that I tell about me. And I'm gonna be in that nursing home, and we're all gonna be sitting there in the dining hall, and they're gonna have the TV on. We're all gonna be looking at the TV, not knowing who's on there and what they're saying. And I'm gonna look up there. I'm gonna see somebody like Tanner. And I'm gonna say, I knew that guy. I knew that guy when he was in high school singing for Jesus. You're going to see somebody that maybe you remember them when they came to church and they were in the first grade. And you couldn't get them to sit down, shut up, and be quiet. And it drove you absolutely crazy. And what you didn't know was that God had raised them up for that very purpose, not to sit down, not to shut up, not to be quiet for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what you were trying to suppress, God was wanting to use for His glory, for His honor. That child may be the very next D.L. Moody, or Billy Graham, or Billy Sunday. God forgiving Bill Wright. You never know. We've all had somebody to share the gospel with us. I'm thankful this morning for a praying wife who prayed for me, who walked that example in front of me so that I could come to know what it really is to be a follower of Christ. You know, we have this thing that's real popular today. It's called Pay It Forward. Pay it forward. You know, you go somewhere and you go through a drive-through and you get up there to get your meal and somebody says, "Oh, your meal's already been paid for. The person ahead of you paid for it." And so you pay it forward, you know. This whole thing really kind of became popular. It goes all the way back, actually. I've kind of looked up the history. It really goes all the way back to Benjamin Franklin. He wrote a letter to a guy by the name of Benjamin Webb. And he said, "I do not pretend to give such a deed, I only lend it to you. When you meet with another honest man in similar distress, you must pay me by lending to him." So he kind of set the stage to pay it forward. You know what makes me mad? Kind of irks me. You go somewhere through a drive-thru and somebody pays it forward for the person behind them. And that person goes, "Wow, that's pretty cool." And they drive off. They break the chain. Then I have to pay for mine. And the person behind me. I miss out on the free deal, you know? Listen, there's people behind you. They're wanting you to continue to pay it forward. Somebody shared with you. You share with somebody. Amen? We see it happen over and over again. Again, in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. John in the very first chapter there, we saw where Andrew went to Simon there in verse 41. But then in verse 43 it says this: "Then the following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee and he found Philip. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from Bethsaida and the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" And so when Philip hears, he goes and gets his brother as well. Because somebody shared with Philip. Philip goes to Nathanael, Bartholomew. These guys all become apostles. And they begin to share and spread the gospel all over the world. You know, when you think about it, you can never repay the person that shared Christ with you. Think about it. If somebody gives you $5, you can repay them $5. But if somebody shares with you the gospel of Jesus Christ and you come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can never repay that person. They already know Christ. You can't give Christ back to them again, right? You following me? The only way you can pay them back is to pay it forward. It's to share with somebody else. If you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because of anything that I've shared with you, you can't thank me enough. You can't appreciate it. You can't give it back to me. The only way that you can appreciate it is by paying it forward, sharing with somebody else what Christ has done for you. This morning, three reasons why we should share. Number one, because you've been saved. Have you been saved? If you've not been saved, now you don't have anything to share. And so you have to settle that first this morning. Are you saved? Have you come to that point and place in your life where you've trusted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Number two, because you've been sent. The authority of God's word says go. Go. And because somebody shared with you, then you should share with somebody today. Amen? Let's pray. Father, this morning, we thank you for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves souls, that changes lives. God, that impacts eternity. And Father, this morning, I'm thankful for those who have invested in me spiritually. And so God, I pray today that you would find me faithful to pay that forward by sharing and investing in others. And Father, this morning, I'm praying for the individuals, God, who have never truly trusted you as their Lord and Savior. God, they've never really come to understand and accept your love and your grace and your mercy. And I pray, Father, this morning that they would know more than anything there's a God who loves them. God, that there's nothing they could do that would ever cause you to love them more. And God, there's nothing they could do that would ever cause you to love them less. God, in a world where people are hurting, God, in a world where people feel as nobody cares for them, God, in a world of hopelessness, we find that there's a God who gives us hope. We find a God who loves us and a God who accepts us where we are for who we are because you created us. And I pray, God, this morning, for that individual, God, that they would know that they're wonderfully and fearfully made and that you love them incredibly. So, Father, today, in this invitation time, God, we have opportunity to respond. God, we will come to Christ. And, Father, for others, we will go to share Christ. So, Father, this morning, I pray that you'd find us faithful. God, we'll be sure to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. We love you, Father, and we ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Brother Mike's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation this morning. If you've never trusted Christ, would you simply receive this morning what Christ has in store for you today? And if you've received already and you know, would you commit this morning to go and to share? As we stand and as we sing, you come right now.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the Father. I am the flesh. Hold me and make me. After thy will.
Morning. Hey, listen, go and share the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Share with somebody this week. Hey, I'm gonna throw us a little curveball. Can I do that?
Throw it.
Tanner, would you sing, give us an encore one time this morning? Would you do that song again for us before we leave? Would you do that? How can you say no to all these people? If we beg him, all right? Come on up here, brother. While he gets up here, I want you to be seated for just a second. The deacons asked me to share this morning. We've discovered a little need within our church family, and so we want to make you aware without making you aware. Does that make sense? There's a need. That's what you need to know. And so if you would like to help meet that need, we're going to have some guys stand at the back, and we're going to have somebody up here at the front after we close out of here. And if you just want to give $5 or whatever you can give, we would be grateful for that, help meet that need this morning. And so just know that when you give, that you're giving to a great need. Hey, and can I just say this as your pastor? I'm so thankful for you as a church and your giving and your generosity. We're going to get back to a sense of normalcy. Giving is an act of worship. And we've kind of been doing that differently through the pandemic. But I think starting the 1st of April, we're going to go back to receiving our offering and having an actual time of worship through giving. And so, but I just want to say thank you to you as a church for being faithful through these 2 years in your giving without even being presented, I guess, the opportunity. You've just been faithful. So many churches have struggled through this pandemic, and there's been ministry needs that the church has not been able to meet because they didn't have the money to meet it. But because of your faithfulness, we've been able to do that. And so through your generosity this morning, we'll continue to be able to minister and meet those needs of people that are hurting. Amen? Amen. All right. Listen, it's been a good... Weren't you glad somebody said, let's go to church this morning? Amen. Amen. Tanner, you sing. After Tanner sings, we'll be dismissed. How about that?
Enough is enough, the world can be tough. I try, but I'm always falling. Enough is enough, it's time to give up. I lay it all down, Jesus, I surrender. Your presence, your spirit is breathing new life into my soul. I'm only free, only alive with my clenched fist to let go. Take my life, take control, until my feet are walking on holy ground. You are in every breath I'm taking, and every single step is on holy ground. Your fire is burning now, I'm waking up, and now I'm walking on holy ground. Time after time, in the days and the nights, it feels like a fight, but the fight's worth fighting. Cause here in my heart, there's light in the dark, and all of my strength flows from your power. Your presence, your spirit is breathing new life into my soul. I'm only free, only alive with my clenched fist to let go. Take my life, take control, until my feet are walking on holy ground. You are in every breath I'm taking. And every single step is on holy ground. Your fire is burning now. I'm waking up. And now I'm walking on holy ground. I'm walking on holy ground. Enough is enough. It's time to give up. I lay it all down. Jesus, I surrender. You are in every breath I'm taking. And every single step is on holy ground. Your fire is burning now. I'm waking up. And now I'm walking on holy ground. I'm walking on holy ground.